Did you know that Christ the King Sunday is not an old festival instituted by the early church when powerful kings were the norm? I actually just learned that this week. This festival was started in 1925 by Pope Pius XI. The Pope had serious concerns about the growing emphasis on pledging allegiance to political parties and leaders, which was being encouraged by people like Benito Mussolini. And a really interesting twist, according to historian David Kretzer, is that the Pope was actually secretly working with Mussolini. And when we look at the dates, the Pope is doing this around the same time that he's making this statement that Christ is our only true King. Why would he do this? Well, for approximately 65 years that Italy had been a country by 1925, the Catholic Church and the governments had not seen eye to eye. And so Pope Pius XI believed that having a non-socialist and a non-democratic ruler would help to make the Catholic Church a state church in Italy, or the state church in Italy. I do believe that he was doing this in order to help people of the faith, in order to promote the church. He just didn't know how badly things would go. In the end, it really was about who has the power. Who are people really listening to? Well, God has a few things to say about power. We know that Jesus was not in the business of making allegiances with church or government authorities that did not align with God's will. In fact, what he taught, how he lived, who he loved and accepted, was all a complete affront to most, if not all, of the religious and government leaders of his time. We witness as we read through the gospel stories that those in power get more and more agitated as Jesus continues in his ministry and picks up a following. We know that those in positions of power and those who benefit from the status quo do what they can to control information and policies so that the status quo is maintained. This happened before Jesus was born, it happened while Jesus was alive, and it continues to happen today. Jesus' unwillingness to buy into the political and religious status quo is what has him standing in front of Pilate being asked, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Did Pilate really not know who Jesus was? Did he not know what the issues were? Of course he knew. Any governor is going to know who the agitators are in their community. It's not like Jesus was secretly holding meetings. Jesus, his disciples, a whole band of followers were traveling openly through the country, healing and teaching and publicly entering Jerusalem, right? Shortly before this reading, we have Jesus coming into Jerusalem with palms being waved. And when Jesus is questioned by Pilate, Jesus turns the conversation back around to him, questioning Pilate's motives for asking this question. And Pilate feigns ignorance. "Oh, well, I'm not a Jew. How would I know if you're the King of the Jews?" Pilate knew who Jesus was. Pilate was not engaging in polite, unbiased questioning and conversation. There was an underlying bias about who Jesus was and a fear about what might happen to Pilate if he did not do what his corrupt constituents were asking him to do. The biblical scholar, Dr. Samuel Cruz, compares it to the contemporary experience of young men of color gathered on a street corner. If seen by the police, they are immediately asked, "Hey, what are you up to?" This is typically not an unbiased question leading to polite conversation. There is an underlying bias towards this group because of how they appear. Please know that I know that police officers have very difficult jobs and put their lives on the line every single day, and I greatly appreciate that. I also believe that the majority are in their jobs because they want to be able to make their communities better. But the bias is real. And the bias is deeply systemic. People of color, especially black and brown men, are overrepresented in communities of poverty and overrepresented in prison in this country. And the reasons are systemic, and they come with a very, very long history. Sometime, I would like to spend some more time considering these issues. Right now, I'm just going to say, there are systemic problems. For today, I want to make that connection to the deeply systemic issues of bias against Jesus, his followers, and the outcast that he spent his time and energy loving. From the poor, to tax collectors, to thieves, to lepers, to women, and the list could go on for all the people Jesus loved who were systemically excluded from positions of power and from true justice. And because of this exclusion, they suffered. Jesus' ministry was focused on changing these systems that perpetuate injustice and inequity. And this is what made him so dangerous to the authorities of his time, both religious and Roman. Jesus is very clear that the kingdom of God does not include oppression or corruption, and it is not for the benefit of those who already benefit the most. The kingdom of God is where community is the focus and no one is left out. The kingdom of God is meant to bring those who are marginalized into the center. We are called to look at those systems and policies in place that disadvantage people and to work to change those systems and policies. It is not an easy task, and there is a lot of opposition from people with much at stake if systems change. But it is, nonetheless, what Jesus is calling us to do if we are to be part of the kingdom of God. At the very least, we need to look at all of our neighbors, even those we think we have nothing in common with, and understand that we have the most important thing in common, and that is God's love. By claiming Christ as our King, we are acknowledging that the dominant understanding of the order of this world is not in line with God's understanding of order. Jesus is not a king because he has been anointed one through the powers of this world, but he is anointed by God. In fact, in John 6, the crowds of 5,000 that he just fed, they try to bring him in and make him a king, and he escapes. Because he knows that the authority to be the king comes from God. It does not come from the people claiming him to be king. Ironically, in John 19, those who witness Jesus being mocked and paraded around in king's clothing declare their true alliance. They say, "We have no king but Caesar." We see Pilate as a quintessential character of those with earthly power, using it selfishly, hoarding it, and ruthlessly disposing of anyone who might challenge it. And we see in Jesus the complete opposite, giving up all he has for the sake of the world. By claiming Christ as our King, we are acknowledging that there are systems in place that do the opposite of what is commanded by Jesus. There are systems in place that make it easier for those who already have a voice and who already have power to keep them and to dominate what is being said, while making it more difficult for those who have been silenced to have a meaningful role in making change. Pilate is doing everything he can to keep the systems in place that dominate and divide people so that he and his allies can continue to benefit. In Jesus, we see someone working to dismantle those systems that oppress and dehumanize and take advantage of those who are powerless. By claiming Christ as our King, we are acknowledging Jesus' declaration that he is the truth and that he has come to testify the truth. We often think of truth as an abstract set of facts or evidence to prove something, but that is not really truth. Real and eternal truth is Christ. Real and eternal truth is the relationship between God and creation, a relationship that says, you are a beloved child of God, and even if the world does not seem to value you, I do. You are precious. When Pilate finally does crucify Jesus, he is attempting to eradicate the truth. In yet another irony, Pilate proclaims the truth by writing it on a sign and placing it above Jesus on the cross, the King of the Jews. On the cross, Jesus is hanging, a crown of thorns on his head and the noble title tacked above him. In this picture, very much like the one we see behind our altar there, we see that in the end, the truth has won. As a servant king, he has given his life for you. He's given his life for me. He has given his life for all. And in that way, has conquered death and has included us all in his eternal kingdom, not to be lorded over, but to serve with him side by side to bring the kingdom here. So praise be to God for Christ, who is a different kind of king. Amen.